It's the most important day on the WCHL broadcast calendar. The 2013 Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum on 97.9 FM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live on chapelboro.com. 10 hours live from the WCHL studios with more than 5 dozen citizens from our local community discussing and debating the local issues. The forum is to you by Durham Tech, University Mall, Molly Maid, The Happy Tooth, UPS Stores, Fordham Boulevard, and Metamont, AutoLogic, Carolina Inn, and Durham Tech. Now, forum hour number 10, The Bottom Line, part 2. Here's our moderator for this hour, Aaron Keck.
Welcome to the 10th and final hour of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. As you just heard Ron Stutz say, this is the most important day on WCHL's calendar all year long, and I think that we have saved the best for last. You just finished hearing hour 9 of the panel, part 1 of The Bottom Line, in which we had 5 community members speaking at length about what they'd like to see when Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, and Orange County begin their budget discussions, taxes increasing, decreasing, property taxes, the commercial tax base, sales taxes, spending cuts, spending increases, spending as investment, and everything else in between. Continuing and picking up where that discussion left off, we're now joined by 6 elected and other town and county officials on this panel for The Bottom Line Part 2 to respond and pick up where the community members left off. So it's my pleasure to welcome the final 6 panelists of the 2013 Community Forum, beginning on my right with Lydia Lavelle from the Carborough Board of Aldermen. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Aaron.
Frank Clifton, County Manager from Orange County. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Also from Carborough, Assistant Town Manager Matt Eford. Good to be with you.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks.
Also from Orange County's Board of County Commissioners, Alice Gordon. Welcome.
Thank you, Aaron.
And finally from Chapel Hill, Town Manager Roger Stansel. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
And finally from the Chapel Hill Town Council, Lauren Eastham. Good to be with you.
Thanks for having me.
So without any further ado, I want to pick up the conversation right where the community members left off in the last hour. If you are just joining us, the way that this panel works, it's a 2-hour panel. We had community members speaking in the first hour. We've got town and county leaders speaking in the second hour. But those town and county leaders, Alice, Roger, Lauren, Lydia, Frank, and Matt, have all been listening in another room to the discussion that took place in the previous hour, which was a very wide-ranging and deep discussion. So without even throwing out an intro question, I want to begin by asking you what your initial thoughts were to what you heard in the previous hour.
Well,
Lauren.
I really appreciate them coming and giving their, they seemed very passionate about the issues that they raised, and I'm very thankful that they appreciate the difficult work as elected officials that we have to do. I know in Chapel Hill we are approaching our budget in somewhat, a very different manner than we have in years past, where we are engaging in priority budgeting. And that pretty much puts a great burden. I mean, it's always a burden, obviously, you know, with the budget every year, but a big burden on really looking at and having out in the forefront programs, services that we, you know, are going to be forced to potentially cut or, quote, chip away at, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's a tough job ahead of us.
Follow-ups to that? Two sorts of general threads wound through the hour, last hour. On the one hand, there was the discussion of town and county services. Bonnie Hauser equated it to providing Bentleys, which is the extent to which town and county services in Orange County and Chapel Hill Carborough are very, very, very good. We talk about Chapel Hill Transit. We're very proud of the Chapel Hill Public Library, just to name two of the services that have been in the news recently. And if we look down the list, we can find literally dozens of services that we're extremely proud of that we provide to a very high degree of quality. And Bonnie's point at the outset of the hour was that we could, instead of talking about priority budgeting, we could talk about providing services to maybe a lesser extent. Buicks instead of Bentleys was the way that she described it. Is that something that resonates with you? Lydia?
Well, I want to echo a little bit of what Lauren said. The conversation the previous hour, reflected, you know, a lot of the conversation we hear year-round from our citizens, our constituents. You know, if our community wanted, was it Buick, is that what you said?
Yeah.
if they wanted Buick-type services, that would be one thing. But we, you know, we have these values and these desires and these goals that that are really challenging. I know we discussed them in the last hour. The more we ride the bus, the more buses we need, the more routes we need. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we recycle, the less we take in at the landfill and fees. You know, the more we conserve our water, the less revenues raised for Owosso. So it's a very perplexing, challenging task. I'll speak to one other point that was raised, and then maybe some other folks will want to bounce off of this or another. But I know there were some questions raised about merger of some services. Mm-hmm. You know, mergers, something about Carrboro taking over Chapel Hill, I think I heard. or you know, just the idea of, does it make sense to have, you know, three different municipalities in a county all running in the same, offering the same services in the same county? And sometimes economy of scale works. Sometimes when you really run the figures and look at merging, I know several years ago, Matt, you may remember this, we looked at the possibility of merging our fire departments with Chapel Hill, and mm-hmm. we ran the figures and it really didn't work. It didn't make sense. You still needed X number of employees and you still had coverage areas. So in some areas, it doesn't make sense to consider, you know, combining our efforts. But in others, it certainly does. And I know that's part of this conversation that we've been having with our neighbors and with the county.
And I think the point that that Bonnie raised in the midst of that conversation wasn't even so much sharing services, although that got mentioned, but just sharing facilities, even if that didn't necessarily mean sharing services. That's something that's conceivable.
I agree.
Yeah. Frank Clifton.
I think that's something that we do. We don't. Maybe you don't do it as much as we could or should, but it's something that I know as managers we talk about either in services or facilities. There are a number of different issues associated with that. Sometimes I heard the reference to putting ambulances in fire stations. Well, that's a great idea if the fire stations were built to accommodate the ambulances, but if the fire stations were really originally built just for fire equipment and so forth, usually those stations are full. So you have to come back in and decide how you modify those buildings and so forth. Where you can do those things, I don't think you'll find anybody in county or town government that won't advocate that where they can make it make sense. There are some elements of service delivery that are duplicated. There's no question about that. I don't think anybody argues about that. But for a long time in this county, I think there's been a goal of trying to achieve economies of scale when it's possible. Example, this county has a unified 911 center. Mm-hmm. All calls for all emergency services in the entire county, including every jurisdiction and the university except for the university police, are run through the 911 center. The county pays that entire cost, manages it, operates the facility, responsible for the infrastructure. There are many counties in this state that have multiple 911 centers, sometimes a municipality, sometimes a municipality operates it, sometimes they have joint staffing and those kind of things. So I think, you know, and, you know, and I think one of the challenges we have is we always have challenges, mm-hmm. and we can always look to improve. So anybody that wants to be critical of what we do is fine. That's, you know, we're very critical ourselves. But you can't solve every problem right now. You have to incrementally approach those issues, deal with the historic backgrounds, try to find the fundamentally financially sound approaches, then deal with the elected officials and the staffing and so forth, and find solutions that people can come to agree with.
In terms of modifying existing facilities to make them more efficient, you mentioned 911 services. Is that a discussion that's still ongoing and looking for other things to do as well?
Well, actually, I think Ms. Hauser referred to the study that we had that the county commission paid for and initiated this past summer that included, you know, the towns and the university and others. And yes, that's out of that initiation. I think there was a lot of discussion about how you do it, and I think everybody came to the same agreement that the facility we have now works. Now we need to improve it, there's no question, and upgrade the system and continue to invest in those kind of things. The unfortunate aspect of that is most people don't even think about that until they need it. What's involved with providing emergency services communications countywide? Well, a lot of people seem to concentrate and think that Chapel Hill and Carrboro are the center, not only the center of the county, but the center of the world. Mm-hmm. Our issue is we've got a lot of people live in a rural area. Well, to make those systems work in a rural area, we have a lot of infrastructure issues to deal with. And it doesn't make any difference in the end because each of the entities back themselves up. So, you know, a fire that occurs outside of the town limits of Chapel Hill often has the Chapel Hill Fire Department providing those services. So it's not an easy, or if it was easy, it would have been done already. And if it was simple, it would have been accomplished. But we face those challenges regularly, and we try to find the most effective way to deal with them.
Matt Eford.
A lot of the things that we're talking about, a lot of the services that are offered, we don't do as good a job as we could of advertising the way that we do collaborate. There is a lot of collaboration among the two towns and the two levels of government here. Just a couple of examples: our recreation and park systems. There's a lot of collaboration in programs offered and facilities shared that to the casual observer you may not notice. Some of our services, they may seem duplicate, but until you understand exactly how the services are delivered, you don't understand that there are different levels of services. Chapel Hill's solid waste collections practices are not the same as the town of Carrboro's. Even though we share a lot of common boundaries, there's different level of services there. So you can't really incorporate them into one system without one of the agencies making a change. Now, there are areas of the solid waste system that we can collaborate on, particularly at the level of the two towns, and the towns are discussing on how to move forward on things like that.
Is there a reason for different levels of services?
There are historical reasons. I mean, Chapel Hill has smaller streets than Carrboro does. Mm-hmm. It's hard to maneuver the size trucks that Carrboro has on the size streets that Chapel Hill has. That's one small example.
Alice Gordon.
Yes, thank you. What I heard in the previous hour was people advocating for the high-quality services. They just wanted them delivered in a more cost-efficient manner. Mm-hmm. And I think the county has tried to do that. I think what we do reflects the values of our community and our core values. And if you look at our budget and you think how important education, high-quality education, then you see our budget is 48% of the expenditures are for education. I think that tracks with our core values. And I think people want excellent education. Mm-hmm. They really do, because that's educated citizenry is your key to the future. And then next comes human services, about 17%, and public safety, about 11%, and then we have the rest of it. So I think the panel ahead of us made a lot of good points. I think the trick is, I was wondering, as they said, make the tough choices. I wonder exactly what the tough choices are. I think the tough choice is, how do you deliver these high-quality services that reflect the core values of the community and do it in a cost-effective manner? I think we've tried to do that. I think we could do better, and that's a challenge. But it comes down to the core values and what the community wants. And then the community votes, and they voted these elected officials in who do this in this manner. And when they come to our public hearings, they advocate for these excellent services.
And I think that was something that was definitely raised really throughout the conversation last hour, especially in so far as a lot of the services that you're mentioning, education, I think, is the most obvious, are long-term investments. And I was wondering if everyone on the panel, Matt Eford, you've got your hand up, I think, could speak to the extent to which spending on services like this is a long-term investment in the future.
Well, in terms of long-term investment, we heard a lot in the last hour about infrastructure and our levels of spending on infrastructure. And I think you'll look around the towns and look around at Owosso's services, and you'll see that our utilities and our infrastructure here are much better maintained than most places around the state and certainly around the country. So, we're of making these expenditures now, avoiding disaster, sometime in the future. It costs money to build and maintain good infrastructure, and a lot of places have deferred that to a critical point. And in Orange County, there's a history of going forward and making those investments before it's absolutely necessary.
Roger Stansel.
Yeah, I want to say, I think sometimes we talk on the edges, and it's not unusual for me to hear somebody who lives in Chapel Hill say, we want to start out by saying we acknowledge that we get excellent service from the town. We love what the town does, and we realize we're arguing on the edge of and the margin. And I think that's probably true for many of our folks in our community. And it is a community that likes to debate and challenge things and talk about them. but I think there is a high level of satisfaction in this community. And having served in a number of different communities, I think it's higher than I see in most communities. Mm-hmm. I also think we ought to take a moment and celebrate the fact that there are two areas that we collaborate in that I think are models for the country, and one is our transit system. I mean, Carrboro lets buses run through Carrboro with Chapel Transit on it. And so it's a partnership between the town of Carrboro and Chapel Hill and the university that is not matched anywhere in this country. And it's also a great example of the university paying a significant amount of money and the rest of us benefit greatly from that. So we got to celebrate that as a great collaboration and not let it sit on the side. Matt mentioned Owassa, which is another great collaboration in terms of water and sewer, because there are places where we'd all be trying to do that ourselves, and we'd be competing with each other. And I know that at the staff level, we spend a lot of time, the towns and the county, trying to talk about ways we can do things in a different way, and I think it's a real effort to think about that. So I just want to – I think there are a lot of things we do well that while we're talking about what could we do better, and there certainly are, we ought to celebrate the good stuff we do, because there are a lot of great things that go on in this community. And the library discussions are a good example where the town of Chapel Hill and the county are making progress and talking about what's an equitable way to provide library services in this county. And the county has increased its contribution to the town over the last few years. Even some really tough issues, there are a lot of good things going on that sometimes we ought to just stop and be thankful for those while we talk about the things we can do better.
We've got to take a break in a couple minutes, but I want to end this first segment by asking both you, Roger, and Alice. Both of you said essentially the same thing in the midst of your comments, which is that we're doing a very good job being efficient. We're doing a very good job handling the competing pulls of scarce resources and spending needs, but we could be doing better. What are you referring to there specifically? What are you identifying, looking at your respective bottom lines, as things that could be improved right now?
Well,
Roger.
Well, I would say, I mean, Carrboro and Chapel Hill, for example, and Hillsboro have been talking about solid waste services and where can we do things better together. And Matt identified that we are focused at this point on commercial, whereas there's greater opportunity that we could do something different in the short term. We have talked about the facility that the town owns and how we might use that in some way to benefit both communities. And not represented in at this table, but we've had multiple conversations with the city of Durham about how we work with them in regards to solid waste disposal. And solid waste is a big cost for our communities. And it's a core business for the towns in particular. It is the very core of what we do. It's the one service that touches people twice a week at least. Mm-hmm. And there are any number of people who will tell you the only thing they get from the town is garbage collection. Because most of the rest of the things we do, they don't recognize, or they don't need it till they have a heart attack, or they get robbed by somebody, or they have an accident. But it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are a lot of solid waste is one area that we really need to talk about how we can do that more cheaply, because it's a big expense for both of us.
I know Orange County has a similar issue with solid waste, but Alice, what were you referring to?
Well, I was just, Roger said it very well, so I'll just say a couple other things. Just picking up on that, I think partnerships, doing the most you can with partnerships and recycling and solid waste is a good example. In terms of county government, we've tried to in terms of our county workforce, if we find an area that isn't, say, as much of a priority, we try to then give the whatever person wouldn't have a job in another part of county government, so that you can repurpose some of your services but still keep the workforce. And so we've managed to cut personnel costs, which are your greatest cost, and be more efficient that way.
We have to take a break right now. Lydia Lavelle will have the floor when we come back. You're listening to Hour 10 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. This panel is entitled The Bottom Line, part two. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Aaron Keck. Don't go away. We will return with the rest of the final panel of the 2013 Community Forum.
It's not too soon to make plans for enrolling at the Orange County campus at Durham Tech, your hometown college in Hillsboro. Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to tell you that registration for fall classes starts in July. So act now by getting your or your child's transfer or high school transcript together. Then set up a time to visit our Orange County campus in Hillsboro to sign up for our high-demand classes before they fill up. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Maid of Chapel Hill. The thought-provoking conversations taking place today on WCHL represent what this community is all about. The panelists are committed to making our community great, just like we are at Molly Maid. For 16 years, our family has been serving yours. My wife, Kathy, and I are proud to employ almost 50 people, doing our small part to keep our community vibrant and, of course, clean. As we support the WCHL Community Forum, we hope you'll support our locally owned business by visiting us at mollymaid.com.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for the first Fridays on the Front Porch of the season on April 26th, starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge and no reservations to attend. For more information, visit carolinainn.com.
You wouldn't start a home repair project without the right tools, and if you're starting your own business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS Store, we have a small business startup toolkit that includes a private mailbox, packing services, flyers, brochures, business cards, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business startup toolkit today at the UPS Stores. We love small business, and we love logistics.
The University Stores on Fordham Boulevard, next to the Chapel Hill University Inn, Meadowmont, and Chapel Hill North.
You're listening to the 2013 Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum on WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the Forum.
Welcome back to our 10 out of 10 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. We are here with several elected officials, the town manager of Chapel Hill, Roger Stansel, Orange County manager, Frank Clifton, assistant town manager of Carrboro, Matt Eford, Alice Gordon of the Board of County Commissioners, Lauren East of the Chapel Hill Town Council, Lydia Lavelle of the Carrboro Board of Aldermen. You are listening to the 10th panel of our 10-panel forum on the bottom line, part two, budget priorities, spending priorities, and taxes, and a whole lot more facing Orange County, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro in the coming months. We had to cut off our conversation at the very beginning of the first segment and take a commercial break, but Lydia Lavelle had the floor. We're talking about not just spending priorities, but also points where Chapel Hill, Hillsboro, Orange County, and in your case, Carrboro, could be more efficient, I think is where we left off.
Right, and before we moved away from that topic of collaboration, I wanted to be sure to point out the recent example of work on Rogers Road, and particularly point out and laud the county commissioners for leading the way on that. I live off of Rogers Road on one side of the road, which is Carrboro. The other side of the road is Chapel Hill and Orange County. And as we all know, it's been a quagmire for years. And this year, we've all come together with funding, with meetings, with real moves forward, with the community center, and looking toward other solutions in that area. And I think it's another great example to go along with some of the others that Roger said, where we're all working together.
And I think a good example, too, of what was discussed in the previous hour, Greg Bell made this point. Lee Heveland made this point of spending as an investment, something that will really pay dividends in the future. Frank Clifton.
And along those lines, I think one of the overriding issues that we face is that, and it was discussed in several of your panels earlier today, a lot of the issues and challenges that we're dealing with is due to the nature or the makeup of the community. We outside of the two towns, we have a fairly rural community. Mm-hmm. We have a high expectation of services. People move here from other places and more urbanized and expecting more urbanized services in a rural area. The towns have the complexity of trying to deal with an older community that's facing the challenges of changing land uses, changing needs, where we depended for the history of the community on the university and the hospital as our primary employment activities. We've come to realize that we have to diversify the tax base. Mm-hmm. And probably in the last several years, the highest level, and I think and it really goes to the elected officials, the highest concentration and force of collaboration has been to how do we do a better job of enhancing the tax base in the county, diversifying employment opportunities for all our citizens, not just the highly educated, and how do we provide real value as we deal with these issues. And I think over at least the last 4 years that I've been here, I know that we've worked endless hours. We had a public campaign for a quarter-cent sales tax, half of it dedicated economic development and infrastructure mm-hmm. activities. We regularly work with the towns and the county, the university, the community college. We're exploring ways to diversify the economy. We're building infrastructure in places where it has not existed, where if you go to other counties, an example, there's no place to build a light manufacturing facility in Chapel Hill or Carrboro. Mm-hmm. The land values are too high. The residential concentrations are too high. So you have to do that someplace else. Well, the people, especially the minority communities or those of a lower income level, and that need employment don't necessarily have a PhD, don't have a master's, and so they have to find some type of employment that's worthwhile, provides benefits, and provides an opportunity for the future for growth. So we have to find places to do that. And a county commission, with the support when we did the quarter cent sales tax, there were a lot of people in the town that were out supporting that. So those things are starting to come forward, but like any investment, you don't get your dividends the next year. Mm-hmm. It's over a period of years. So I think what you're going to see over the next 20 years is a different type of growth in the tax base, not just apartments to house students and people that are coming in or out, or not just some small retail, but jobs that produce opportunity for individuals, some manufacturing, some light manufacturing technology, mm-hmm. warehouse distribution, those type of things. We've got two interstates going through this county. That's a heck of an asset. And over the years, while I think everybody knew the importance, they didn't have to depend on it. And the greatest, maybe one of the best things that happened in our area has been the economic downturn, which forced us to look in the mirror and examine how we raise revenues for all those good services that everybody wants.
And I know when Steve Brantley, the Economic Development Director from Orange County, was here earlier today, really excited in particular about light manufacturing, so everyone's on the same page there. I want to segue from that into a topic that you mentioned already, which is the question of revenue. Everyone in the previous hour, all of the community members, by the end of the hour, were together, really unanimous in saying that they would be willing to accept an increase in taxes if it meant keeping the high quality of services that are currently available. They want to continue to keep them available in Orange County. Now, that does have the obvious trade-off. The other topic, the thread that's run through not just the last couple of hours, but really the entire day, is the extent to which Orange County is pricing some people out. And that's something that that has a lot of people in the community worried. So there's that to consider as well. But I want to begin the revenue discussion by asking this question of all of the panelists from Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. Every single municipality in Orange County, whether it's the county or the town level, has done a tireless amount of work and a really good job in the last few years, in spite of the economic downturn, not raising taxes, not raising property taxes. The quarter and a half cent sales tax would be the only exception, but in terms of the property taxes and everything else, have done a really good job in avoiding tax increases in spite of the heavy pressures to do so. With this budget cycle coming around, for any or all of the three municipalities represented here, should we expect that to change this year? Should we expect some tax increases in the bottom line this time around? Lauren Easton.
Well, this forum actually occurs, premature to our mm-hmm. our budget. And I was talking with Roger about this earlier. It would be nice to actually know what our budget's going to look like to mm-hmm. answer some of these questions. But You know, I think that this year is particularly tough when we have a beautiful brand new library, mm-hmm. and we already are hearing people complain that it's not open enough. So there's an example of, you know, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have mm-hmm. to either go ahead and, you know, extend the hours of the library, but we're going to have to pay for it. So, but I think that what I'm hearing is that a lot of people are okay with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are other items that are large in the budget that are contributing to the complexity and the potential for a tax increase this year. The solid waste issue mm-hmm. is one. Transit is another. So we this is a tough year, and I think I will defer to Roger on the rest of that, because he's
that.
The guy that has the knowledge at this point. We're waiting to see.
So. Yeah, Roger, following up on that, is this a uniquely difficult year?
Well, so one of the things I want to put in perspective is 2008 was a nosedive,
uh-huh.
and it's only this year that we're getting back to where 2008 was. So that's 5 years, not just of – we're just getting back. We're nowhere near the 3%, 2.5%, 3% annual growth that we would have in a normal time. So we didn't gain anything. We're just back to where we were in 2008. That's a long time, and as you said, the elected officials have done a really good job of doing that without raising taxes. And from where I sit, I can tell you our organization is creaking and groaning from that happening. Our people are working hard. They're tired. We're holding vacancies. Mm-hmm. People are having to work harder. Nobody's complaining, but it means we may not respond as quickly to your request to pick up your garbage or pick up your leaves or whatever. And so, number one, we're starting from a point where we're really in 2013 looking at 2008 levels, and we just haven't depended on tax increases to deal with that. Mm-hmm. As Lauren mentioned, there is a brand new library open, and we've been saying, I think, for several years that to operate that library at the same level that the community is used to, that was an equivalent to a penny on the tax rate to do mm-hmm. that. The community decided to close the landfill and we take our garbage somewhere else. We said from the very beginning that was a penny on the tax rate, increased costs for the town of Chapel Hill to do that. In the transit system, we've had we've been able to maintain those services, but what's coming forward from the partners is a penny tax increase, equates to a penny tax rate increase for the town of Chapel Hill. And most of that is because the state has reduced its funding. So while the state and federal government reduce their budgets, there's only one place for it to come, and that's right here to this table. Mm-hmm. We got nobody else to pass it on to except the taxpayers. So, I mean, from our perspective, there are three very reasonable, legitimate decision made reasons why there are increased costs, and yeah, I'm sure it's the case for the county and Carborough and everybody. Our organizations are creaking and groaning and trying to provide the same level of service.
Lauren?
To follow up, one of the things that Roger has said year after year, you know, when budget time happens, is that the services that we have in Chapel Hill exist because somebody wanted them, mm-hmm. and they're useful services, mm-hmm. and so it makes it really tough on us to decide to chip away or cut because we know that it will affect, you know, a certain group or yeah. everyone.
And every time it seems that there is a cut in any service, it always becomes high profile, pool hours at the mm-hmm. the community center or the fireworks display or something like that. Turning to Carborough now, Lydia and Matt, same question for you guys. Lydia pointing directly at Matt Evert.
Well, I want to follow up after Matt says a few
things. Oh, okay.
Again, I'll echo some of the same things. This is pretty early on our budget process, and not all of our elected officials have had a chance to be briefed on the proposed budget for the next year, but you know, just kind of speaking in generalities, we're our goal this year is to present a no tax increase budget. And you know, to do that, we've had to be inventive. The board approved in the last couple of weeks use of some of our reserves to pay to retire some debt early to free up some operating money for next year. You know, we've issued sidewalk and greenways bonds this year that were approved by the voters 10 years ago, and to pay the debt service for that would have required at least a 2 cent tax increase. And so town manager David Andrews, the board of aldermen, our finance staff, they were very inventive in finding a solution on how to free up that operating money so that we actually will see a decrease in our debt service payments for next year. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, something that we're as a staff pretty proud of. We were able to find a way to do that. You know, 2008-2009 was the last time Carrboro raised taxes, and you know, that coincides with a lot of the downturn in the economy. Our costs have gone up just like everybody else's. You know, real inflation is about 15% over that time period. Our health insurance costs have gone up 30% over that time period. So we're feeling a lot of the same pressure that a lot of the businesses and a lot of the citizens of the community are feeling. And you know, to their credit, the elected officials have been very firm that we're not increasing taxes in Carrboro. And so for the last 4 years, going into our fifth year, that's been a priority for the staff when we start the budget process.
Are you confident that you can avoid a tax increase this year?
The preliminary budget thus far does not include a tax increase. Again, that's before the Board of Aldermen has really had a chance to weigh in on it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to address the question of new revenue sources or existing revenue sources and relate it to what we heard during the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you really, especially as a layperson or as a person running for office, as you study the budgets of the town, you realize immediately where the bulk of the money comes from, and it comes from property taxes and sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the previous hour, one of the panelists suggested or brought up the idea of a local income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what state he was talking about, maybe
Pennsylvania.
Right?
Yep.
And I'm from Ohio. We have the same thing there.
Mm-hmm.
But we are very, as we're finding out more and more, we're very limited with our powers of local government, mm-hmm. and our ability to...
And increasingly limited, I think.
And it's getting worse. And just ways to really, you know, smartly be able to address a lot of these issues. You know, why can't, you know, for example, the recycling fee issue we're dealing with, or this notion of a local income tax, which is much more fair, not as, you know, it's a more fair way to tax, especially when you have older homeowners that don't have income tax. It's a more fair way to increase your revenue stream in your local towns. But to that end, I wanted to point out that, so, you know, you have to kind of look at where you can build those revenues. And I know in Carrboro we've had a more of an increasing focus on bringing people downtown, you know, having more events, excitement around our new hotel opening up, having people come, shop, you know, eat food, stay, leave, you know, mm-hmm. don't add to our infrastructure, but come and give us your money. So that's one of the ways I know that we're really excited about perhaps more revenue ultimately trickling down to not just the county, but to the town.
Those events that you mentioned have been wildly successful in terms of bringing a ton of people to Carrboro. Has it been successful in terms of generating revenue for the bottom line?
I know anecdotally, the local businesses and the restaurants are really
sure
excited about
yeah.
them. Yeah.
Matt?
I think this is something that all of us recognize. You know, our budget projections now, the caveat is depending on what Raleigh does between mm-hmm. now and our budgets are adopted. Because, you know, some of the things that have been discussed have a major impact on the revenue streams for the towns.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, right now, if everything stays the way it is, that we're confident that, you know, that we can survive this you know, legislative cycle.
Mm-hmm. So we're only a couple minutes away from taking a break, but we haven't heard from Orange County yet. So Frank Clifton and Alice Gordon, same question for you. Frank, they're deferring to each other now.
Well, the thing about it is Lauren mentioned, we have not
right.
seen the manager's mm-hmm. recommended budget. So I guess I will let him speak first, and then if I don't have time, maybe you can take me after the break.
Okay.
Okay.
You've been deferred to first, Frank.
Right.
So
We are planning at the county level right now. The budget doesn't hold a proposal for any tax increase. Mm-hmm. However, keep in mind that Chapel Hill School District has a separate tax rate, and their board has publicly advocated for raising their tax rate. We later tonight, after we leave this meeting, we go back to Hillsborough for a meeting with the two school boards where we'll get a full input of what they think they need financially. And then if you live in one of the areas outside of the towns, all but one of the fire districts will see a tax increase associated with providing services mm-hmm. and increasing, improving fire, in most cases, improving fire service ratings, which will then should be offset somewhat by reductions in their insurance rates. We talk about this all the time, but half of the county's budget, 48.1% of it, goes to schools, either school operations or school debt. Now, that does not include the community college and other aspects that we also financially fund. And then we have a number of other services that are in the schools but funded out of the county's budget, like police officers or sheriff's deputies, nurses, health nurses, and those type of things. The other half of the budget, as Alice pointed out, is vast majority of that is in human services. Mm-hmm. So when people are suffering, guess where they go for assistance, mm-hmm. and that's the county. So, but we've done a good job, as Roger pointed out. All public employees are doing more now than they have had to do in the past, and not necessarily because they want to, because the demand didn't go away, and generally, for the most part, there's fewer employees to do the work. So, but I will say this on behalf of county staff. Our people have stepped out throughout the county, and we've been able to give them some incremental increases, but not very much. Mm-hmm. And then keep in mind, and this the managers meet again soon to go over this information in more detail, but basically the tax base, as Roger pointed out, we're at 2008 levels, mm-hmm. and actually the county's budget in 2008 is greater than it is today. That's where we're at, and that's a reality. The tax base for the county is not much different today than it was in 2008.
We've got to take a break. We'll pick this conversation up when we come back. You're listening to the 10th and final hour of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. We're going to take one more commercial break, and then we'll be back to wrap up our third and final segment of the final hour of what has been an amazing day. This is Aaron Keck. We'll be right back with the 2013 Community Forum.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I'll look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
You wouldn't start a home repair project without the right tools, and if you're starting your own business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS Store, we have a small business startup toolkit that includes a private mailbox, packing services, flyers, brochures, business cards, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business startup toolkit today at the UPS Stores. We love small business, and we love logistics.
The University Stores on Fordham Boulevard, next to the Chapel Hill University Inn, Meadowmont, and Chapel Hill North.
Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn. For 88 years, we've been serving our community with the finest hospitality and space for important community gatherings. Through the years, our commitment to serving Chapel Hill has never wavered, which is why we are proud to support the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. When John Sprunt Hill built the Carolina Inn in the 1920s, he and his contemporaries vigorously discussed the issues of the day, and I'm sure he would be proud to know that tradition continues today. The Carolina Inn, part of your community since 1924.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
local people, local issues. It's WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum. 10 solid hours on 97.9 FM WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the Forum.
Welcome back to the 2013 WCHL Carborough Chapel Hill Community Forum. I'm Aaron Keck. I'm your moderator for Hour 10, the final hour of our annual forum, joined right now in our studios by Matt Eford and Lydia Lavelle of the town of Carborough, Frank Clifton and Alice Gordon of Orange County Government, and Roger Stantel and Lauren Eastham from the town of Chapel Hill. Our topic is the bottom line, following up on our panel involving five community members last hour. And we left off our conversation in our second segment. We just finished hearing from Frank Clifton about the prospect for a tax increase this year in Orange County government, at least, still with budgets very preliminary at this point. But Alice Gordon, I want to follow up with you, following up on what Frank said at the end of the last segment.
Yes, I think that it is a little soon to tell, but in terms of the general property tax rate, I think we will try to at least go into it with a no tax increase perspective. I think one of the things you have to think about, I know that people seem satisfied with the level of services, and they are excellent, but we do have to remember that there are people who are on fixed incomes, people who don't have as much money, and so you have to be very careful if you raise taxes that you don't impact them really negatively. I think that's really important, and it's one of the things that we certainly have to consider. You have to think, you know, it is important to us, I think, that we have a diverse community and that we have housing, that the housing be affordable. So you have to balance those things out. But I think going into the budget process, we're going to try not to raise the general property tax rate. One other thing I think Mike mentioned is we've talked about investment, and I think investment is important because economic vitality and economic growth is key. We can grow ourselves into a more favorable position and not have to raise taxes, but as Frank pointed out, that's long term. So I think, but economic vitality is key. And one other thing I don't want you to overlook is, you know, we have an asset in this community, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and K-12 education. Also, we have Durham Technical Community College, and that's really helping so that you don't have to rely just on a university education now in this community. Right here in Orange County, you can go to Durham Technical Community College. I think that's a contribution, too, and that, again, can play into people getting jobs and also people, industries wanting to come here for that trained workforce.
Frank Clifton.
I want to follow up one issue. My comment about the tax base hasn't grown. It hasn't grown in value. We've had about a 1%, 1.5% growth a year countywide in new construction, but that's far below what it was the years before. But the actual valuation of property hasn't changed since 2008. If you had a $300,000 house in 2008, chances are the market today is at $300,000 plus or minus a little bit. So, and we monitor those valuations annually. So, we've had a trickle of growth. We had a real fall off in sales tax in 2009, and we're about back to 2009 levels there. But we have all the jurisdictions have pretty much maintained their finances at or below 2008, 2009 levels.
So we heard from Matt Eford last segment that he says he's confident that Carborough may be able to avoid a tax increase, at least in that municipality. I want to hear from Frank Clifton and Roger Stansel and get their take. What is the likelihood? Frank, you mentioned possible tax increase for fire services, but over and above that, what is the likelihood of a property tax increase this year for Orange County, and then Roger for Chapel Hill?
Well, you're getting me to tell my budget before I get there. But, as we said, we don't project the need for a property tax increase, but again, the Board of Commissioners is that final deciding factor. We always have far more requests for funding than we can fund in a given year, and you got to remember that, like I said, half of the county's budget is in education. The rest, half of the other half is in social services and human service support. And then we fund in excess of $1 million a year to local nonprofits directly without and we do probably do another $500,000 to $600,000 a year in direct contracts with nonprofits for services. So, and in any given year, and this year is no different, we've probably got like $1.7 million in requests, and we, you know, projecting somewhere around $1 million proposal to the board. So, and each year the board makes adjustments as they see fit at the end of the fiscal period, and the final budget decisions are theirs.
Roger Stansel, again, with the caveat that it's still early in the process, your thoughts on the likelihood of a tax increase this year?
I also want to say, can I point out, nobody's talked about Venture Lab, the economic development venture on Rosemary Street that is a launch that's a huge partnership between the county and the town of Chapel Hill and the university again, which I believe will address some of our core business interests of keeping innovators and entrepreneurs here to fill up our office space. And it includes what I hope is looked like a growing partnership with Durham Tech and making sure we're all working together in the same forum. So that is something we're aggressively pursuing. And in order to try to avoid tax increases, the town has basically said, this may be a little extreme, everything we own is for sale. We have a group of people who are looking at our assets to determine that do they align with where the future that we want is. Should we be disposing of some assets that no longer meet the town's interests, or can we transform some of those assets? So we have fire stations, for example, on very prime property. Can we sell them to achieve some of the other town's goals, get a new station at no cost? Or our police headquarters, which is in deplorable shape, is on a prime piece of property. So could we sell that and use those funds to build a new police facility at no cost to the taxpayer? So we are exploring some options. I will tell you that Chapel Hill Transit partners are recommending a budget that is a penny tax rate increase for the town of Chapel Hill, primarily because of state reduction in funding. I apparently used up all the rabbits in my hat sooner than Frank and Matt did, but so I don't know. I think it'll be challenging for the town council to, they can't, I find it hard to believe we can avoid the 1 cent tax increase for transit. And then the other costs of taking our garbage to Durham and operating a brand new library are real new additional costs for the town of Chapel Hill. And we've been saying for a long time, put those together and those are 2 cents on the tax rate. So we'd really have to change the way we do business if the end result is not some kind of look at the tax rate. But
we've only got about 5 minutes left, and I want to end this hour in this forum by asking one more question of the three elected officials, Allison, Lauren, and Lydia. But Matt, you had your hand up to end this discussion.
I'll defer. Go ahead and move on.
Okay. Well, the final sort of question, we've talked about the one side of the bottom line, which is the tax side. Then there is, of course, the spending side. Someone mentioned last hour that there is always the notion that when you're talking about either increasing taxes or cutting spending, regardless of what you do or what combination of that you do, it's always the citizens who get caught in the middle. At the same time, everyone at the end of the hour was at least willing to accept the increase in taxes, even if they were less willing to accept a decrease in spending in order to continue to provide quality services. Knowing that there are a lot of hard decisions, and the other thing that all of the community members mentioned last hour was the need and also the desire for town officials and elected leaders to make hard decisions, even if they're unpopular. Of course, spending cuts are always among those very, very difficult decisions. So I want to sort of wrap up this hour, and we only have a few minutes left. So Allison, Lauren, and Lydia, I want to focus on you. What is the hardest decision that you see yourself facing this year when it comes to assessing spending at the town and the county level? What do you see yourself doing that you don't want to do, including answering that question?
Well,
Lauren.
I just, every year we always have groups that come to us, usually, well, they come in the public forums, but they'll also come to us individually, nonprofits or, you know, other human service agencies that are doing such a good job in this community. I mean, they are the bread and butter for so many different functions and services that they provide. And we're not able to give them their full requests. You know, for the last several years, we haven't been able to do that. That, to me, is one of the most painful things to have to do, is to tell them, you know, even new, you know, groups are coming to us saying, you know, we're doing this service or that service, and we really, you know, need your help, and this is why we're providing the service. And, you know, the new groups, you know, it's just, it's difficult to say yes, because they don't have a track record, and other groups that have been around for a long time have had their, you know, specific requests cut. So that to me is very difficult. Also, another difficult thing related, I guess, is, you know, we haven't, I don't think we've really heard about this in both hours. Our employees that we have are an investment. That is an area that I want to support, you know, continually. And you know, I think that, you know, it's hard to not give them a an adjustment and or give them a raise, you know, for the cost of living here in Chapel Hill is tough. So, you know, that's important. I guess I can defer since we have limited time.
We only have about 2 minutes left. Lydia.
Yeah, two of the three I was going to say, Lauren mentioned. I know each year our human services requests are much more than we can fund. We've been fortunate the last couple of years to be able to increase the amount we've given to those good organizations, but it's still always tough to figure out how to sort that out. Secondly, I was going to address our employees. They've not had, you know, we've done a good job of stipends or other things the last couple of years, but as far as cost of living and as far as we've been struggling a little bit with the implementation of a living wage and how that affects all the other employees, and we had a long discussion about that the other night. And thirdly, I'll also just address affordable housing. We are constantly trying to seek ways, now we're trying to seek ways to perhaps have a affordable housing, a type of fund where we can go to for possible repair requests in affordable housing. So we're working a little on that.
And that leaves the last word of the 2013 Community Forum. No pressure for Alice Gordon.
I'll answer the question more generally. I think if we find out the legislature has cut something that's very important to our core values, and for example, education, and then we in turn do the legislature's cuts, we have to cut something that's really important. I think that was the thing that would trouble me the most.
And that concludes the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. This hour, as well as the entire day's broadcast, can be found on our website, chapelboro.com. You can hear special rebroadcast of this forum all weekend long, starting next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 12 noon. Joined for this panel, and thank you all so much for joining us this hour, Alice Gordon, Roger Stanzel, Lauren Eastham, Lydia LaBelle, Frank Clifton, and Matt Eford. This is Aaron Keck, and we'd like to thank all of our guests throughout the day who made this special 10-hour broadcast possible, as well as the WCHL staff, Lauren Stafford, Ron Stutz, Alex Curley, James Robinson, Elizabeth Friend, Rachel Nash, Rand Northam, Ann Brenner, DG Martin, and Fred Black joining us as moderators throughout the day, Julie Nutter, Miriam Hughes, Jordan Rogers, and Susan Murray, as well as our executive producer, the very talented Anthony Wellman, who's been keeping things going all day long. This is Aaron Keck. You've been listening to the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. Thanks so much for listening.